Welcome to Gemara Markings. This shiur is Nidah Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 3 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Aleph. You will notice some markings, a house form and a triangle form. These, in effect, are a continuation of markings that we started on Daf Lamed Amid Beis. The house form highlights comments made by Rebbe Lazar, and the triangle introduces drushes that begin with Lema Havlad Doime. What is a developing fetus like inside its mother. Lema havla doime b'mei e'imoi. As you scan ahead on the page, you'll notice more of these house forms, and as we said, the triangles were featured already along with the house form back on Daf Lamed Amid Beis. So our Gemara starts 3 lines from the top. The Amar Rebbe Lazar, Lema havla doime b'mei e'imoi. What is a developing fetus like inside of its mother's womb? Answer, le'egoiz munach b'sefel shomayim, like an egoiz is a nut in a flask of water. Adam noisin etzbo alav, shokea l'kan u'l'kan. If a person places pressure on it, so it sinks and it alternates its position in this direction and that direction. Similarly, with the developing fetus, it's in a fluid-type solution and is floating around. The Gemara gives you an analogy to that situation. Tonu Rabbonan. The Gemara features a Tanaic source, which you can see is framed off. Shloisha Chadoshim Rishonim Vlad Dor B'Modor HaTachtoin. During the first 3 months of pregnancy, the child is found in the lower quadrant of the womb. Emtsoim Vlador B'Modor Emtsoi. During the 3 middle months, it's a 9-month pregnancy, during the 3 middle months, the 4th, 5th, and 6th months, the child is developing in the middle quadrant. Achreinim, the last 3 months, Vlador B'Modor Elyon. Lo and behold, the child floats upwards even more to the highest quadrant. The Kevan Shigia Zmano Lotzeis, when the time for emerging, for exiting the womb arrives, mishapech v'yotze, it flips over and exits. In other words, the child was at the end of the pregnancy in the uppermost quadrant, and in order to leave, so it has to come out the bottom, so it flips over and exits. V'zeu chavle isha, and that is the pain associated with the birth. It's in that whole flipping over change of position that takes place. V'hainu disanyo chevle shel nekeva merubin mishel zohar. And it's in that context that we say that the pain involved in a female birth is greater than that of a male birth. V'omer abelozer, my craw. What is the pasuk that indicates this phenomenon? That at the beginning, the Vlad is in the lowest quadrant. The pasuk says, "Asher osisi b'seiser rikmotzi b'tachtios oretz." The word rikamti is an expression indicating formation, and it says b'tachtios in the lower part. Tachas is the bottom. That's a reference to what we said before was the modur tachtoin. Darti lo nemar. It doesn't say in this pasuk dwelt, but rather rikamti. Rikamti is a loshon, is an expression of formation. And hence the formation, the initial formation took place in the lowest quadrant. Maishno chevle Nekevim Reuben Mishel Zohar. What is meant by that point, that the birth associated with a female child is greater than that of a male child? The Gemara answers, Zeh bo kederech tashmishoi v'zeh bo kederech tashmisho. The male is born in the same position that he assumes in normal cases of intimacy, where the male is on top with his facing downwards, facing the his wife, the partner. He's facing downwards, and the female emerges the way she assumes a position when, as an adult, she's involved in intimacy, facing upwards. Zu hoifeches poneha. In the case of the nekeva, initially the child in the womb is facing downwards, but as she emerges, she has to do an additional flip over, and in order for her to be facing upwards as she emerges. So that extra repositioning is what causes the extra pain. Vezeh, the male, ein hoifech ponov. He emerges with his face down as he is inside the womb anyway, so there is less pain. Tonu Rabbanan. Shloisha chadoshim horishonim tashmish koshe leisha vegam koshe levlad. The first 3 months, intimacy with a pregnant woman is considered a strain or difficult for her and for the developing child. And so during the middle 3 months, koshe leisha v'yofe levlad. The intimacy is still difficult for the woman, creates a difficulty for the woman, but is positive for the child. Achroimim, the last 3 months, yofe leisha v'yofe levlad. It's beneficial for the woman as well as for the developing child. Shemitoch kach, as a result of intimacy during the last 3 months, nimtzo havlad melubon umezuraz. The child is considered of a melubon, a white, a positive complexion, and strengthened. Tono, hameshamesh mitoso liyoim tishim, ki ilu shoifech domim. One who has relations during the 90th day of pregnancy is tantamount to spilling blood, tantamount to killing. The Gemara asks, Menoyoda, how in the world can a person know when exactly the woman became pregnant? And hence the fine, there's a warning in this source, but it doesn't have any practical benefit. Elo Omar Abaye, Mishamish Vaholech. Abaye says a person can conduct himself in matters of intimacy as he desires. Vishoimer Psoyim Hashem, and the Lord, the Almighty, watches over the fools. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will protect from that which a person himself cannot know. You'll notice that with our markings, we emphasized the two sources that began with the description of Shloisha Chadoshim, sources detailing elements of the different months as the child develops. So we chose a marking to bring out the similarity in that sense of these two sources. And hence we use the crown shape to introduce both of them, beginning with Shloisha Chadoshim. The Gemara continues, Tonu Rabbanan, Shloisha Shutfin Yesh Ba'odom. There are three partners in the formation of a human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Ovev Imo, the Almighty, the Father, the Mother. What does each one contribute? Oviv Mazria Haloiven, the Father produces his male emission, which is white in color, and that color is also associated with the products that the man, the husband, is responsible for in the developing of his child. Shemimenu atzamois v'gidim v'tziponim v'tziponaim u'moyach sheberoshoi v'loivin shebayin. the father is responsible for the production of bones, sinews, fingernails, the brain in the head, and the white of the eye. Imoi mazras oidem, the woman is associated with red type emissions. She mimenu or ubosar, from here there is produced the skin and flesh and meat, the cirrus and hair, the shochor shebayin, and the dark of the eye, the black of the eye. Va'kodesh baruch hu noisein boy, the Kodesh baruch hu infuses the child with ruach u'neshama, with the spirit and soul, the klaster ponim, and the appearance of one's face, the riyas ayin, the ability to see, u'shmias ozen, the ability to hear, v'dibor peh, the ability to speak, the hiluch rogaim, the ability to use one's feet to walk, u'bino v'heskel, and wisdom and good sense and wisdom and knowledge. The kevon shigia zmano lipote min olam, when the person's time in this world comes to an end, at the point of death, HaKadosh Baruch Hu no tel chelko, the Almighty simply recalls his contribution, the chelik of avimo meniach lifneim, and the portion that his parents contributed, he leaves in this world. And it's the separation of the soul from the body that we refer to as death. Omar Rav Papa, Hainu di Amri Inshi. Based on this, there is a saying, Poitz Milcha Vishodi Bisra Lekalba. Milcha is salt. Salt is something that serves as a, not only something that adds taste to whatever it's placed on, but it also serves as a preservative. So the this potz is to cast off the salt from the meat that it may be on, and when you do that, so the meat will start to, the preservative value is lost, so it will start to go bad, start to rot, and at that point it's fit only for the dogs. So then the shadi bisra lekablin, throw the meat to the dogs. Once the salt is shaken off, it's no longer able to be preserved. Hence, the neshama in a person preserves the body, preserves the human being. When the neshama, when the soul is removed, so the body no longer has any staying power, and that is what we call decomposition and rotting. Dorash Rav Chinuno Bar Popa. This bow tie shape is one of the shapes that we featured on Daf Lamed, and it introduces different drushas, different explanations given by various Rabbonim. Dorash Rav Chinuno Bar Popa, Maidich Tiv, what is meant by the Pasuk, Oise Gedolois Adin Chekev and Eflois Adin Mispar? The Pasuk, the gist of the Pasuk is that the Almighty does wondrous things and that one cannot even keep track of. You notice a double underline is used to highlight the phrase here and a few lines later, behold, the ways of the Almighty are not the ways of man. This will highlight in the upcoming Gemara unique features, we'll say, in the development of a person. The manifestation of this difference, we've written on the side of our Gemara, Bitui Shel Shoini Ze B'Yitzirus HaVlad, an expression of this contrast in the context of child formation. So now the Gemara. Bo urei shlo kemidas haKodesh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. Come and behold and see the difference of the ways of the Almighty versus the ways of man. Midas basar v'dam, the ways of man. Noisein chepetz bechemas tzura upio lemalo. A person will place an object in a tied sack. In other words, put it in a sack and tie it shut. Suffek, and the opening is facing upwards. Sofek mishtamer, sofek ein mishtamer. One is not sure, will it be kept, will be saved, will be guarded or not. V'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzor Ha'ubar B'mei Isha, the Almighty produces, He forms a child, an embryo, inside its mother's womb. Psucha, the woman is essentially open. There's an orifice. It's open. Upi olamata, and that orifice is facing downwards. And yet, umishtamer, and the child is kept safe. It develops in such a we'll call it a strange environment where the opening is facing downwards, and it's as we say, it's not tied shut. Dovar acher, adam noisin chafotzav lekaf maznayim. Another aspect of contrast is a person places an article on a balance scale. Kolzman shemachbid yuri lamata. The more you add to the weight of that side that you placed your item on, the more weight that's added, the lower it falls. V'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu kolzman shemachbid havlad oyla lamalo. Whereas with regard to human development, which is something the Almighty is responsible for, the heavier it gets, the higher it rises. And we saw this described in the Brisa before. Where the first crown form appeared above on the upper part of the page, where the Vlad starts its development on the lower quadrant and rises as it gets larger. The Gemara continues, Dorash Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Mai Dichtiv, Oidecho al ki noiros niflesi, nifloi masecho v'nafshi yadas ma'oid. How wondrous are your actions and behavior. Notice the contrast. Midas Boser Vadom, Odom Noisen Zaroinim Baruga, a person places seeds in a furrow. Kol Achas Vachas Oila Vimino. Each furrow produces a separate type of vegetation according to whatever seed you placed in that particular furrow. That variety will develop. V'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzor Ha'ubar B'mei Isha, the Kodesh Baruch Hu forms an embryo inside of its mother. V'kulon Oylem L'min Echad, and all of the different elements come together to produce one type, one entity. The Rashi says Kulon Oylem L'min Echad Zerav v'aim nasin brio achas. They produce one entity. Whereas with regard to the seeds, when you place different seeds in the ground, each seed develops into its own variety. So that, just to go over this analogy again with a little greater accuracy, in the case of a person planting, he may put several different kinds of seeds in one furrow, so that the seeds are in effect together, but each seed produces a separate variety. In other words, separate seeds produce separate varieties of vegetation. In the case of human development, separate seeds, man's contribution, the woman's contribution, are put together and they form one new single entity, where they merge together to form a new entity, the new child. Dovar acher, tzabo noisin samonim luyore. A tzabo is someone involved with dying. So he'll, in dying, there are different ingredients, the samonim, the different raw material for dyes, are put in a yore, into a pot. Kulan oilin lutseva echo. They all merge together to form one color. The Rashi at the top elaborates on this. There are different colors, different types of ingredients that one needs to produce a black dye. Klipas eitz, utchinas reichaim shel napochim, the kama dvarim, different ingredients. The kulinas and shochar, and they all together form one solid color, black. The eno yochol litzoivoy biyora achas mishnayim ushloshim gvonim mishnayim ushloshim mekomos. In one pot, you can't produce several different colors from several different materials. If you put different materials into one pot, you're going to get one unified color. Vilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzor Ubor B'mei Isha, the Kodesh Baruch Hu forms a embryo in the womb of its mother, Kol Achas V'Achas Oile Lemino. Each different contribution remains as it was. The loiven, we said the man produces the man's seed is parallel to a raw ingredient of dye, and yet it produces the white aspects of the child. The mother produces she has a red contribution, and she is responsible for the darker aspects of the child. So you have different colors of basic materials producing an entity that has a manifestation of these different colors, unlike a human being who is making, who is dyeing, preparing dyes, where the different contributions produce one unified color. Dorash Rav Yosef, May Dichtiv Oidcho Hashem Ki Onafto Bi Yoshuv Abcho Vatenachameni. The gist of this pasuk is that I say praise unto you, the Almighty, for the wrath that you bestowed upon me, and that comforts me. B'mei HaKosuf Medaber. What is this pasuk talking about? That because of the seeming wrath that you showed to me, I am happy for that. So the moshal is regarding two people. The analogy to understand this is Shnei b'nei Adam shiyotsu l'schora. They went on a trip for profiting money. They went out to do business. Schora is commerce. Yoshav lo kotz le'echod mehem. One of them got hurt by a splinter. A splinter entered his foot. And he started to express his anger through cursing and whatever. The yomim shoma shetova svinasa shechaveru bayam. It should be pointed out, the Gemara is a bit terse, but as a result of his getting hurt, so he missed his boat. He missed the boat. He had to stay back. And in the course of time, he then heard that his friend who didn't get hurt, who everything was going smooth for him, his friend's boat sank at sea. He then realized that because he got hurt, he was saved. Hischil moidu mishabeach. Upon hearing the unfortunate news of his friend that didn't get hurt, he, the person who was saved because of getting hurt, started to sing praise. L'kach ne'mar yoshuv apcho v'tenachameni. It's in that context that the pasuk says that your wrath departs from me and I am consoled. V'hainu domer Rabbi Elazar. It's based on this that Rabbi Elazar says, "My dichtiv oise neflois levadoi uvoruch shem kevoidoi li'olam." That he does wondrous things by himself, let his name be blessed forever. Afilu bal hanes eino makir beniso. There are many occasions that a person who benefits from the miracle, from the divine intervention, and he doesn't realize that it was that intervention that saved him. The phrase indicating that the beneficiary of a miracle doesn't recognize the miracle. And there are so many occasions and events that one goes through in life and doesn't realize this is happening. Dorish Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa, May Dichtiv Orchi V'Rivi Zorisa V'Chol Derachai Hiskanto. The word Zorisa, Rashi explains, is Birarta Benapa. It's the idea of sifting and choosing something, choosing the best. Melamed, this teaches us Shalonotzar Odom min kol hatipa elo min haboro shebo. A person in being formed is not formed from the entire drop, but from the choicest one. This might be a reference to the in the case of intimacy, so there is an emission of a certain amount of male fluid, and we know that it's not all of the fluid which contains the male seed the sperm, not all of them are responsible, but only one of millions is the one that causes the conception to set in. This is a fascinating revelation on the part of Chazal, who certainly, as far as we know, didn't have access to microscopes that could see what we just described, and yet through their divine knowledge that the Chazal certainly possessed, they were aware of this. On the other hand, one should not be surprised. I often tell people the awareness of Chazal of these things is simply that they had a tradition that goes back to a communication, to a connection with the Almighty, the Creator, the one who established the entire existence. So for the Chazal to be aware of these things, it's no big deal. After all, they got the instruction manual from the manufacturer himself. What one might be impressed with is modern science that eventually comes to their revelations and awareness of things that were known to our sages many years ago. Let us continue in the Gemara. Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, Moshel le'odom shezora beveis agronis. The analogy concerning that which we just said is a person who is winnowing in his granary. Notel es ha'oichel u'meniach es ha'psoles. In the process of winnowing, so one separates the chaff from the grain. Likewise, so he takes the food, the oichel, the food part, and leaves the psoles, the debris, aside. Likewise, in the formation of the vlad, so we said of the offspring of the embryo, only one part of the seed of the emission is used, and all the rest is cast away. Kidei Rabbi Avo, along the lines of Rabbi Avo's teaching, the Rabbi Avo Romi, Rabbi Avo raised a discrepancy, if you will, between two psukim. One pasuk says, "Vatazreni chayel." Vatazreni is this expression of choosing. Uksiv hokeil hameazreni chayim. Azreni is an expression of girding me with strength. So these two psukim seem to be, the two words seem to be very similar. So what is the, how can we fuse them or explain them together? One posuk is from Shmuel Beis, and the other posuk is from Tehillim Yudches. Omar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. King David announced to the Almighty, Ribbono Shelom, Ziri Sani, first you chose the choice seed for my creation, the Ziri Stani, and after I was formed, you then girded me with strength. Dorash Rabbi Avo, my dichtiv, mi mono offer Yankiv umispor es roiva Yisrael. Melamed, this pasuk teaches us, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Yoshev Esoifes Reviyoseim Shel Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sits, so to speak, and counts the Reviyoseim, or the acts of intimacy that couples conduct. Mosai Tovo Tipo Shatzadik Noit Tzor Heimeno. He waits in anticipation of when will the drop from which the righteous one is to be formed from. So you get the impression from this that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is sitting in waiting in anticipation of that special person that eventually will be born. The Al Dover Zeh Nismis Einoi Shel Bilam Harosha, and regarding this, Bilam, the wicked one, the wicked prophet, had one of his eyes blinded. The Gemara explains, Omar, Mishuhu, Omar, Bilam declared, Mishu Tor V'Kodosh, he, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is pure and holy, U'mishor Sotor V'Kodoshim, and his heavenly hosts are pure and holy, Yatzitz B'Dover Zeh, should look upon this. So he made light or made a mockery of this idea of the Kodesh Baruch Hu paying attention or noting the acts of intimacy of mankind. Miad nismes eino. Immediately, after he jeered thusly, his eye was blinded. Dichtiv, the pasuk mentioning this factor or this characteristic of Bilam says, Neum hagever shesum ha'ayim. Thus speaketh the man with the single eye that's open. In other words, his other eye was closed, was sealed. He was blinded. Vahainu, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv. Regarding the birth of Yisachar, one of Yaakov Avinu's sons, one of the 12 tribes, the pasuk says, "Vayishkav imo balayla hu." Leah spent that night with him, with Yaakov. Melameh shaKadosh Baruch Hu siya ba'oisay maisa. From this, we learn that the Kodesh Baruch Hu intervened in that particular act of intimacy and causing that to come about. Before we go on, Rashi explains under Divar Maskel Hu, Kutshebrichu Siya Shenotah Chamor Sheyankiv Lo Leah. Kodesh Baruch Hu caused it such that the donkey on which Yaakov rode veered to the tent of Leah. Yaakov had four wives, and he would spend different nights with one of his different wives. That night, he was drawn to the tent of Leah. He wasn't actually expected that night to be with Leah. It was a night for one of his other wives. So the Gemara continues and says, Shenemar, Yisochar Chamagorum. Chamor, the donkey, Goram, Loi, Yisochar, caused the eventual formation and birth of Yisochar. We have a new marking, this diamond form, and on the outside margin, under our Mivneh heading, these are Memros Shel Reb Yitzchok Amar Ravami. And you will see they continue on to Amid Beis, where you'll see quite a few of these Memros, statements made by Reb Yitzchok in the name of Rav Ami. The topic heading that we have for this section, Ish Mazria Tchila Yoledes Nekeva. If the man issues forth his seed first, that will result in a female birth. Isha Mazra'as Tchila, in the event that a woman issues her seed first, a female will be born. And this idea we've seen already a few times in this Masechta in different contexts. Here it's taught on its own. So the Gemara says, what we just saw in our introduction, Omar Rav Yitzchok, Omar Rav Yami, Isha Mazra'as Tchila, Yoledes Zohar, if the woman produces the seed first, a male is born. Ish Mazria Tchila, if the man produces the seed first, and we're talking about producing the seed in anticipation of the formation of a child. So Yoledes Nekeva. What exactly is meant by this? There actually are different thoughts on the matter, so we're sticking to the more or less literal translation, leaving room for different options in how to understand this Gemara. Shenemar, the pasuk that indicates this relationship is as follows. Isha ki sazria, the woman when she produces her seed first, the yolda zohar, a male is born. So that you see in this pasuk the concept of Isha mazras tchiva, yoled is zohar. Tanu Rabbanan. Barishona hoyu omrim, Isha mazras tchila, yoledes zohar. Ish mazria tchila, yoledes nekeva. Velo pirshu chachomim esadavar. The chachomim, when this was said, had not originally explained where you know this from. Ad shebo Rabbi Tzadok upirshu, until Rabbi Tzadok came along and explained it. And he quoted a posuk. Eile b'nei Lea asher yolda liyankiv b'padan aram v'es dino bito. These are the sons of Lea that were born to Yankiv in Padan Aram, the area that he had lived in. V'es dino, and dino is the girl, the daughter of Yankiv, bito, his daughter. So you notice the reference of the parents, in this case Leah, with the word B'nai, and the daughter is associated with Bito, with Yankiv, with the father. Tola HaZechorim B'nai Kevas, the male children are associated with the mother. Unekevos, the female offspring, B'Zechorim, with the father. And that illustrates the point that we just got finished saying. Vayu b'nei ulam anoshim gibore chayel dorche keshes umar bin bonim uvnei bonim. So the pasuk says that the children of Ulam were strong and great men of warrior caliber, and they increased bonim and b'nei bonim. So the which is taken in this case to mean many male children. Is it possible for, is it something that is in a person's control to determine the gender? Since they were as a result of the man, the male, restraining himself from issuing forth his seed until his wife issues forth her seed first, which is responsible for male children to be conceived. So ma'ale aleim hakosuf kilu hei marbim bonim uvnei bonim. It is as a result of this that that the Torah considers, that the pasuk considers a person as having gender determination in his control. V'hainu d'om Rav Ketina, and it's based on this that Rav Ketina says, Yacholni lasas kol bonai zechorim, I had in my power to make all of my children male offspring. Omar Rova, Haroitzelas is Kobonov Zahorim, a person who wants to have all of his children being male, Yiv Oil Vishne. He should have a double act of intimacy with his wife. The idea being that even in the event that as a particular act of intimacy, the man produces his seed first, the second act of intimacy, because she is so, we'll say, aroused or anticipatory, she will then, in that second act of intimacy, produce her seed first, followed by the man's seed emission, and that will be sufficient for the for a male child to result. The Rashi explains on the top line, Yivol v'yishne, shemitoch tavas bi'ila rishoyna, as a result of the desire aroused, as a result of the first act of intimacy, tehei mazras, she, in the second act of intimacy, will produce the seed, unehi nami detazria achrov, granted that she produced the seed in the first act after him, takdom hazra'asa b'vila shnia, second position she had in the first act of intimacy will in fact be prior, will be earlier than his emission in the second act of intimacy. So we've created a position, a situation where the woman's seed precedes the man's seed. The Omar, Rabbi Yitzchok, Omar, Rabbi Ami. The diamond introduces once again another memra of Rabbi Yitzchok's. And here we have a double underlining that will appear. So in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have recorded Shnei Deois, two opinions, Mosai Isha Misaberes. At what point does a woman become or is likely to conceive? One opinion is Somuch Levesta. That would mean right before the appearance of her new monthly menstrual cycle. And the second opinion is Somuch L'Tevilosa, just after she emerges from the mikveh following her need or her menstrual cycle. So it's also important to pay attention. The word samukh has to do with next to. Sometimes next to means prior to, and sometimes next to means after. So now let us see this in the Gemara. The Amar of Yitzchak Amar of Ami, Ein Isha Misaberes Hela Samukh Levesta. This opinion says that a woman is likely to conceive to become pregnant, Samukh Levesta, right before the appearance of her monthly blood release cycle. Shenemar Hein Be'avoin Cholalti. Cholalti has to do with formation. Be'avon literally is a sin, but it means as follows, that the relations with a nida is a sin. So it's sort of like, we'll call it almost a dangerous game. That means close to, very next to, close to the time that one could fall into sin. But of course, we're talking about a kosher situation. But right up to, close to the time she would become a nida, that's the time in which I am formed. Now, the second opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Somuch Letvila. The optimal time for conception is right after she emerges from the mikveh. In other words, right after she becomes tor from her previous cycle, from a previous week of or time of tumah. Shenemar uvechet yechemasni imi. The word chet should be very, very carefully translated. It does not mean what it usually means, but rather it's an expression of immersion and cleansing. The idea of immersing in a mikveh is the idea of achieving purification and cleansing. My mashmadai chet lishna the dekuyehu. Where do we have precedent for seeing that the word chet has to do with dekuye, purification? Dichtiv v'chitei es habayis. This is a pasuk in the context of the Kohen being metahir a house that had experienced negoyim, had experienced signs of tzaras. U'metargaminon, the targum, the Aramaic explanation of the word v'chitei is v'yadki yos beisa. V'yadki is dekuye. Dekuye has to do with purification. So that here you see the Torah word v'chitei, ches, tes aleph, associated with cleansing and purification. V'boi esem o'mehoch, another possibility is one can see it from here. Techateini be'ezov ve'ethor. In this pasuk you have techateini, which has a root, ches, tav, tes aleph, ve'ethor, indicating purification. The Omar Rab Yitzchok Omar of Yami. Kevon Shebo Zohar Ba'olam. We have a little introductory note, the Nosei on the side. Kishe Zohar Nolad, when a child, male child is born, Bo Shalom, we'll see that as one point, peace comes, and Kikro Biodo, and his maintenance comes along with him, his food comes along with him, and that will be in contrast to a female that's born, a girl. The Gemara, the Omar of Yitzchok, Omar Rabbi Ami, Kevon Shebo Zohar Ba'olam, when a male is born, Bo Shalom Ba'olam. So Shalom comes to the world. Shinemar Shilchu Kar Moshel Oretz. The word Zohar is a contraction of Ze Kar. Kar is a mincha, is a gift. The giving, the send, this pasuk then says, Shilchu Kar, sending of gifts to the ruler of the land. So the gifts are sent in the context of peace. Hence, the word Zohar, which is a male, is associated with this concept of peace. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Omar Rabbi Ami, Bo Zohar Ba'olam, Bo Kikro Biyodo. When a male child is born, his food comes with him in his hand. The word Zohar is a contraction of Ze Kar. Now, the word kar is featured in the following pasuk, Dichtiv Vayichre Lohem Keira Gedoyla. That pasuk is in the context of of a meal being served. He prepared a great meal for them. So the word zohar is a contraction of zekar. This is his food. Nekeva ein imo klum. When a girl is born, she doesn't come with anything. The word nekeva is a contraction of nekia ba'a. Nekia means missing. She comes missing this element of her food provided for her. Ad de omra mezoni, until she says, feed me, lo yavi lo. She will not get anything. Dechtiv nokva schorcho olai ve'etena. Ve'etena. This pasuk is in the context of Yankev Ovinu and Lavan, but for our purposes, the word nokva is used here, that when you spell out your wages, I will give it to you. So the word nokva nekeva is darshaned in the same context. It goes without saying that the ideas expressed in this Gemara are deep ideas. What is meant by the emergence of a male and the coming forth of peace? What does it mean when we say that a child is born, a male, a boy is born with its food as opposed to a female? These are concepts that require further expansion, but not, unfortunately, in the context of our Daf Yomi Shir, we will not engage in that. The Gemara continues. Shalu Talmidov es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. B'pnei ma omra Torah yoledes mevi'o korban. This marking, by the way, this new marking, the house shape, which is a new marking for this omid of Gemara, introduces the expression Shalu Talmidov, where students ask their Rav various questions. So first you'll see the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai asking him a series of questions, and later the Talmidim of Rav Dostoyev Rabbi Yanai asking him. We also have a triangle shape introducing the expression Mipnei Ma Omru, why has the following things been said? You'll see these appear quite a few times. So our Gemara continues with the topic of why is it that a woman who bears a child is expected to bring a sacrifice? She happens to bring a chatos ha'oif as part of her sacrifices, a bird sin offering. So they're asking, why is that so? Nipnei ma'am rotor yoledes mevi'o korban. Why is she expected to bring a sacrifice? And it's particularly a sin offering. Omar lehem. B'shah shekaras leleit, so Rav Shimon Chai answered, when she bends to give birth and experiences the immense pain associated with giving birth, kifetzes v'nishbash l'tizkak l'bayla, she swears that she will never again have relations, have intimacy with her husband. After all, it leads to this, to the pain of giving birth. L'fikach omra Torah, therefore, the Torah says, this type of oath that she takes, an oath that she has no real intention of fulfilling, or in other words, it won't be fulfilled. So the Torah says, Tavi Korban. So you have to bring a sacrifice, and we know in the Torah, for unfounded oaths, for false oaths, a sin offering is to be brought. Maskif Law Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raises an objection to this explanation. Number one, Vaha Mizidohi Ubacharota Talya Milsa. First of all, she is swearing, knowing that she is swearing, and therefore it's an oath done with awareness, with knowledge, and as a result of that, it's called mazid, it's called with awareness, and sacrifices in this context are not brought in a mazid situation. It's only brought in a situation where someone violates an oath unknowingly. And furthermore, ubecharota talya milsa, she, in order to undo this kind of oath, she will have to express her regrets over having made it in the presence of a Torah scholar, which is we refer to that as being matir the oath, matir it, to undo it through a intervention of a sage. The sacrifice that she brings will not have any effect on undoing the oath. The oid, and furthermore, korban shvua boi isuye. if you think that the sacrifice is because of the Shvuah, there's a special type of sacrifice that would need to be brought in the form of a sheep, a female sheep or female goat, a kibsa sira, not a bird offering. So Rav Yosef simply raises an objection to the explanation that Rav Shimon bar Yochai gave regarding the sin offering that the woman bearing a child is expected to bring. If you are going to associate it with the oath, so Rav Yosef feels there, that association is inaccurate with the type of korban that she brings. Here we have an extensive list of more questions along these lines. Why is it that a woman is tameah for 7 days after a male birth and 14 days after a female birth? Answer: Zohar shakol smechen bo mischaretis l'shiva. So is a male child is perceived as being a greater source of happiness, and therefore a woman who has a male child over whom everyone is happy, most people are happier when a male is born over a female, so she will come to regret her oath after a mere 7 days. And Nekeva, a Shakol Atsevenba, a girl that's born over whom most people are saddened or less joyful, so Mischaretis Larbo, so it takes 14 days for her to, twice the amount of time for the mother to regret her oath. What's the significance of the Bris Milo being on the 8th day and not on the 7th day since its birth? Why is Bris Milo done on the 8th day? Answer: Shelo Yehu Kulam Smechen Vavimimo Atsevim. So as to avoid a situation where everyone is happy, they're celebrating the circumcision, the Bris of the child, and yet the parents are in the seventh day since the birth, so the mother is still forbidden to have relations with the husband, and therefore they don't have, there's a cap, we'll say, or a limitation to their level of joy. As Rashi says, the Ovavimo Atsevim Shasurim B'Tashmish, they're still restricted in intimacy. As we just noted, a seven tumah days follow with the birth of a zohar, so she's still forbidden on the seventh day. On the eighth day, however, she becomes muteris according to Torah law. We've mentioned many times earlier in this Masichta, things that we mentioned that sound like they have halachic ramifications are not to be taken at face value, because when we learn Gemara on these topics, we're learning essentially d'oraisa level halachas, and practical halacha has many more aspects of a rabbinic nature that are introduced, and hence not to draw conclusions. But nevertheless, on a Torah level, the woman after a male birth is forbidden for 7 days. On the eighth day, she becomes permissible to her husband. Hence, we want to have everyone happy, including the parents, so Bris Milah is on the eighth day and not the seventh. Tanya, Hoya Rabbi Meir Oimer. We have a Tanaic source in which another triangle appears. This is not related to a woman giving birth, but it's a separate question of why does the Torah forbid a nida to her husband. I'm not sure that the focus is specifically on the number of Shiva, on the number 7 days specifically, but more along the lines, as we'll see from the answer, why is the nida forbidden? And the number 7 is apparently a number that has significance in the context of the answer. The answer is shirogil ba, the kotzba. If a person were always allowed to be with his wife in intimacy at all times, he'll become too accustomed, and this regularity will lead to a feeling of being repelled, of something that's, kutz literally has to do with something that's disgusting. Rashi says, me'usolav, she will be in his eyes disgusting. therefore, Amra Torah te Tmeya Shiva Yomim, the Torah therefore imposes a tumah of 7 days when a woman experiences the nida sighting, the blood sighting of the monthly cycle. So she is to be, she's declared tumah for 7 days, forbidden to her husband. Kadesh te chavifa baila kishas knisasa l'chupa. This is a period of time which serves as renewal, and chavifa means beloved, so that this will increase a sense of affinity and love of the husband for his wife. And here the source goes so far as to say, as they had when they initially entered matrimony. Shalu tamida is Rabbi Dostoy Brabiyanai mitnei ma ish mechazer al isha v'ein isha mechazeres al ish. For many hundreds and hundreds of years, this certainly was the clear practice, and that is, why is it that we find the man seeking out the woman, pursuing the woman, and not the other way around? We don't find, or we didn't find, women pursuing or seeking out the man as her mate. In other words, the man took the active role in seeking out the woman. Moshe li'odam she'ovad lo'aveda. The analogy is to a person that lost a possession of his. Mi mechazer al mi, who seeks out whom? Baal aveda mechazer machzir al avedoso. The one who lost the owner, the one who lost his article, seeks out the article. The idea here being that when the woman was created, she was created from a part of man. So the man is seeking out that which was removed from him, that which was taken from him, and hence he is seeking out the woman. Umitnei ma ish ponav lamata v'isha poneha lamala klape ha'ish. Why is it that when they are in the act of intimacy, so the normal act of intimacy, Rashi says, ponav lamata b'shas tashmish, in the normal act of intimacy, the man is facing downwards and the woman is facing upwards. So the Gemara offers an explanation. Ze mimokoim shenivra vizu mimokom shenivres. The man is facing the ground. Man was made from the dirt, from the adoma. The woman was made from him, from the man. So she is facing him. Once again, the man is facing down, he's facing the ground, and she is facing him from whom she was created. Umibne ma hoish mekabel pius vein isha mekabelis pius. Rashi explains pius is noyach lirtzois. It's easier to appease. The word pius has this interesting similarity to the English word appease. Why is it so that it is easier to appease a man than it is to appease a woman? The answer, ze mimokoim shenivra v'zu mimokoim shenivres. The man was made from the ground, dirt, if you will, which is a, relatively speaking, a soft material, loose dirt. For example, Rashi says, Adama ofer tichoach. Soft dirt is Rashi says, noach libotel, is easier to subdue. However, bosar v'atzamos, flesh and bone, could be flesh that's attached to bone, is considered a harder substance, so that the man who is formed from loose dirt is easier, is softer, and easier to accept appeasement than a woman who is formed from the flesh and bone of man. Mipnei ma isha koyle orev v'ein ish koyle orev. Why is it that the woman's voice is considered sweet, as opposed to the male voice is not described as sweet? Ze mimokom shenivra, vezu mimokom shenivres. The man comes from dirt, which when you, let's say, strike dirt, you hear a thud. The woman was created from a bone of man, and the bone, when you twang it, it issues a sound that is a higher pitch, if you will, and hence it has this sweet twang to it. Shenemar, the pasuk describing the female voice as sweet, reads as follows: Ki koylech or rave umarech nove. So in this pasuk you see the kol of the woman described as pleasant. That is the end of the third perek of Maseches Nida, and at this point we begin the fourth perek, Benois Kusim. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side of the Gemara, the Nosei. The topic that will be highlighted here is Benois Kusim Nidos Marisason. The Kusim are, generally speaking, even though the term might have flexible meanings in the Shas, it's a reference to people whose group of people that converted to Judaism under very questionable circumstances, so that there are problems, to put it minimally, there are problems with this group of people known as the Kusim. The Mishnah says that, the Mishnah will tell us that the children, the infants of Kusim, the girls of the Kusim people, are deemed nidos from their cradles. And the reason for this is the chayshinu lemiuta shiroyz dam bekatnusim. We take into consideration the miut, the minority of girls who experience blood flows even at this early age. In other words, the idea of or the phenomenon of a blood flow is something associated with maturity, puberty. But there could be occasions where even a child, even an infant, experiences a blood flow. So the Mishnah will feature other points, but what we featured now is the basis of the Gemara as well, the beginning point of the Gemara. Let us see now the Mishnah. Benois Kusim Nidois Me'arisasan. The daughters of the Kusi people are considered, they're labeled as Tameos from infancy. Va'kusim, the men, Kusi men, Metamin Mishkov Tachtoin Ke'elyoin. That may shame boyale nidos. This is something that Rashi points out will be explained later in the Gemara, but for our purposes, it means that the Kusi men communicate tuma like one who is boyal nida, one who has intimacy with a nida, and that communicates a certain level of tuma, which is described as mishkav tachton ke'elyon. V'hein yoishvois al kol dam v'dam. The Kusim, strangely enough, were very strict with regard to what type of emission would create tumah, and they treated all emissions, even colors that do not create tumah, that are not associated with blood whatsoever. For example, a yorok, a yellow type emission that a woman experiences is not related to nida, and yet they observed it and as if it created tumah. And that messes things up. Rashi gives an example of a Kusi woman who would let us see a yorok emission, a yellow type emission, on day one. She would start counting her seven nida days from that point. On day three, let us say, that same woman had a red emission. She would not pay any attention to that because it would be, in her mind, in the middle of her tuma period, and she is tumea for 7 days, starting with day one. But in Torah terms, her counting would only start from day three. So what happens with this woman? She will reach her own day seven and declare herself tahora. She'll go to mikveh and consider herself tahora, when, as far as Torah is concerned, her counting only started from day three, so that when she is going to mikveh, when this Kusi woman is going to mikveh, she is only observed 4 days of tumah, and she needs to observe another three. So she'll think she's tahora when she in fact is not. The Ein, the Mishnah goes on, the Ein Chayovin Alein Al Bias Mikdosh, if a regular Jew who follows Torah Halacha would, let us say, come into contact with the clothing of these people, they, even though we said that we treat them as Tameim, which ordinarily if a person was actually Tameh, so his clothing would also become Tameh, but nevertheless, we do not say that someone who, let us say, wore the clothing of the Kusim would be Chayev. If he enters the Beis HaMikdash, he would be obligated to bring a sacrifice for that offense. The Ein Sorfin Lansa Truma, and likewise, if the clothing of the Kusi contacts Truma, we won't burn the Truma, which is something that we would do with real Truma Tamea, but they should Tumasim Sufek, because our approach to their Tuma is simply out of doubt. It's not Vadai Tuma, and since it's not certain Tuma, it's only something that we observe out of precaution, it therefore does not cause a person who, let us say, after coming into contact with them and enters the Beis HaMikdash, he would not bring a sacrifice for that, nor would he burn Truma. The Gemara asks, Heichi Domi, the Mishnah mentioned that they are Nidos Me'arisos, and what are the circumstances? Idiko Chazion, if the infant Kusis actually saw a blood flow, Afilu Lidon Nami, our girls also, our infant girls as well. Yet the Mishnah emphasizes the Kusim. The Idolo Kochazin, if the Kusi infants did not have a blood experience, so did Hunami Lo. If we're talking about a non-sighting of blood, so did who? Them also, the Kusi also, we should not declare them Tameois. So it's either or. If it's either or, and if there was a blood sighting, there should be no distinction. And if there's no blood sighting, there should be no distinction between Kusi and everyone else. Omar Rava Brei de Rav Acha Ba Rav Huna Omar Rav Sheshes. So Rava explains, Hocha b'mayaskinon b'stama. We're talking about an infant that we don't know anything about her. All we know is that she is a Kusi infant. The Kevon de Ikom Yuta de Chazion, Cheshinon, since there are a minority of infants that experience blood flows, we take that into consideration and we impose restrictions. Cheshinon means we worry about it, or we concern ourselves, we suspect Tuma. Uman Tano de Chayesh Lemiuta, who is the Tano that takes into consideration minority occurrences and acts upon it and rules based on minority situations. So the Gemara at the very top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph says, Rabbi Meir he. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is Choshesh L'miuto. He takes into consideration in formulating halacha even the minority cases. The Gemara will continue giving us background where we see Rabbi Meir ruling according to the minority possibility, and Amir Tzashem, in our next year, we will get into the sources or the background for Shitas Rabbi Meir. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.